When unwelcome water sneaks into your house, it's not only inconvenient, it can cause serious health issues if it's left unchecked. Larry Mueller, turning our attention to mold and water damage repair on the show now with our guest, Joseph Minorek. Joe is Director of Operations at Minorek Mitigation. They have a certification from the Institute of Inspection Cleaning and Restoration Certification. Minorek Mitigation is based out of Mount Pleasant, serves the Milwaukee area. So as we talk with Joe, I hope you'll join in. Tell us where you've uncovered mold in your home, or what do you need to know about the type of mold you found, or let us know how you keep the water out of your basement. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Joe Minorek, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate it, especially the small business.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's great. I know you know a lot, and I have a lot of questions for you, and our listeners probably do as well. When people reach out to your company, what sort of problems or products do they need help with?
Oh, we get plenty of questions about water damage in the basement, somewhere in the house along the lines of refrigerators, dishwashers, plenty of mold. Mostly in the attic spaces, that's a big concern. Fire jobs, we get those quite frequently as well. Someone cooking, not paying attention, catching fire real quick.
Gotcha. And maybe give us a story behind why you decided to start Minorek Mitigation.
Well, after working for a couple other companies, I figured it was something that I really enjoyed doing. I like having the aspect of having a change of scenery every single day. And, I just came to that point where I decided that, I'm going to take the opportunity to do this for myself, put my name on something, and see where we can go with this.
Yeah, well, makes good sense. Let's talk about mold for a bit here. What are the most common fungal issues you see in homes?
Like I said, up in the attic space, we get a lot of calls about that. Closets in the cantilever closets. There's, it's great for conditions in California, but when we have the weather changes in Wisconsin, it's not so great.
Yeah. We get a lot of questions on the show about what everybody calls black mold. How can you tell if you have this type of mold, and is it serious?
So there are plenty of different types of molds that are black. Unfortunately, I cannot be the one to tell you especially which mold you have. That has to be done by a microbiologist or an industrial hygienist. The company that we work for is fantastic. They usually get out there pretty quick. They identify exactly what we're dealing with, and we basically go by their recommendations of what needs to be done to properly contain the area, to take care of the issue, and to give them a healthy indoor air quality.
Yeah. And health effects. There can be, a variety of health effects if you have mold.
That is correct.
What are some of the worst ones?
We come across a lot of, breathing issues, allergies, things of that nature. I've heard of people having, severe headaches when they're in their home, but when they go in, on vacation, stay in a hotel, all their symptoms are completely gone.
Yeah. Well, you want to get that taken care of for sure. Jeff and Barry Mills has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Good morning. I guess this is pretty timely. I just had a fire in my mobile home this weekend. And there's a lot of wet insulation and everything hanging around. I'm sure the floor is going to... I had a question about mostly the ozone machine. Is that pretty effective for getting the stuff out of the house?
the smells and the all the materials? Ozone machines, Joe.
So there's a lot of different techniques that are put into getting odors out of smoke jobs and fire jobs. Ozone machine is one of them. A hydroxyl machine is a little bit more friendly with the resident. It doesn't, I forgot how to explain it, but the hydroxyl is a safer route to go over the ozone machine. There's other options like thermal fogging. Obviously, you want to get rid of all the burnt up materials, and then sealing. That's another aspect of odor control.
Yeah, sealing off the affected area so that it doesn't happen. Jeff, does that help out?
Yeah, somewhat. And I guess, you know, it's a good thing the weather's nice, so we can just pull the skirting off and air out the underneath and get rid of the wet stuff. But, yeah, it helps.
Yeah, okay. Jeff, thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. The thing about mold, and I had a situation in my home one time a few years back where I actually have a water system for fire in my home, and one of the beads broke and on the pipe, and the water ran down the inside of the walls. I called the insurance company, and they said, well, they recommended somebody from the Madison area and said, get them over right away, because things need to be taken care of right away or very quickly, Joe, if a situation like that develops.
That is correct. You got 24 to 72 hours before mold growth can actually start after a water loss of any sort.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about what you do if you discover a problem. What's the first thing?
So we go over to our customer's house, obviously do our inspection, give them our recommendations, you know, whether it's talking to a microbiologist or, you know, just going straight into the estimate portion of the work. For mold, we do a lot of physical removal. We explain that, how we do that. We try staying away from as much chemical products as possible because everyone's trying to go green nowadays and stay healthier. The best route to go about getting rid of mold is physical removal. You know, there's a lot of different types of molds that our microbiologist has indicated can be cleaned with something as simple as Dawn dish soap and physical abrasion.
And others take what?
Others, you know, you do have to rely on some of those harsher chemicals. At that time, we kind of recommend that customer finds a place to stay overnight or whatever it may be for however long it may take for that job to be completed.
Yeah. Mary Kay in Kenosha. We'll go to you now. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi. I have a question about black mold and the law. I live in an apartment complex. There's 14 buildings, and it was built in the 70s, and there's an entire room that it has an opening in it, okay? When they open it up, I think to fix a pipe or something, the whole room has got black mold on it. I'd like to know what the law is for tenants to make these people fix things.
Unfortunately, I cannot give any of that type of information out. That would be something you'd have to contact a lawyer about.
Yeah, I would think that Kenosha probably, I would think maybe their home inspection unit. Kenosha has to have home inspectors that are paid for by the city. And you might want to check with them because you could probably pretty quickly get some information from them about what your options are. Because if you've got a room that's completely covered with kind of a blackish mold, I would think they would have to be fixing that. Whoever owns the apartment complex. Certainly makes sense to me anyway. Somebody else is wondering, is mold a bigger problem in older homes in your experience?
In my experience, I see mold in brand new constructions, older homes. It all depends on the quality of the build. You know, I know Chad touched bases on airflow through attic space, that's probably the biggest factor that we come across in attics, you know, the improper airflow.
So that's that, and that makes the most sense to me too. If it's not properly taken care of, and you get it in the attic, and then it's going to wind up getting somehow spread through the other parts of the house, won't it?
Yeah, whether it's through the duct system, you know, you turn your AC or your furnace on, you're going to cross contaminate some areas, especially if your furnace is located in the attic space.
And what are the best methods to stop mold from growing then? We're looking at the attic area, but what about other parts of the house?
You want to make sure that your appliances aren't leaking, you know, faucets, things of that nature. Make sure that you're keeping your relative humidity in your house, you know, as close to 35% as possible. Obviously, it's not as easy as everyone would assume, but that's the ideal percentage range to be at for indoor mold growth not to occur.
And dehumidifiers, what's the best time of the year to run a dehumidifier, let's say, in the basement?
Summertime, springtime, fall, or winter. You know, we got high moisture in Wisconsin.
So in other words, whatever season of the year, you could, if you're going to run a dehumidifier in the basement, you run it then.
just make sure you're emptying the bucket if it's not a drain line system.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Joe Minorik, our guest today. He is Director of Operations at Minorik Mitigation. They're based out of Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, and serve the Milwaukee area. Great talking with him. If you have questions about water issues and mold, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look today at water and mold issues in the home with our guest, Joseph Minorik. Joe is Director of Operations at Minorik Mitigation. Out of Mount Pleasant, serve the Milwaukee area. It's great to have him with us. Just a quick mention, tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll have the author of The Future of Gardens. It's about how climate change and new technologies like AI change the way we can grow things. And then we'll get an update from the UW Arboretum and talk about composting. But right now, we're talking water and mold issues with Joe. Great to have him along. And let's talk about water. I know, Joe, you deal with water damage remediation at your business. How does it get in the house in the first place?
Well, we got multiple different ways. We have, you know, the supply lines, we have drains, we have sump pumps, houses that don't have any sump pumps whatsoever. Gutters, the downspouts is a big issue. A lot of people call us about foundation issues, you know, discoloration in their basement, moisture issues. And a lot of times we go out there and their foundation is fine. It's more or less the grading and the downspouts that are causing the issues that they do see. Obviously, heavy rains, power outages, those are things to bring in the water.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you, let's say you find some standing, you got some standing water in your home, it's probably going to be in the basement, would be my guess, if you're going to find it after the fact. Quite a bit. What's the first step you should take?
Well, I would definitely take some pictures. That way, if you're going through insurance, you have documentation already started. Definitely pick up the phone and call a professional. A lot of people do not do that. They try taking care of the issue themselves, and unfortunately, it leads to the secondary damages such as mold. You definitely want to get that area dry. You don't necessarily want to use air movers just in case there is some microbial growth taking place. Get all the water out by sucking it out with a vacuum by any means that you can, and then having a dehumidifier set up until you can identify all the damaged materials.
Yeah, so quite a few steps there. And How do you determine if this damage warrants removing drywall or flooring or other building materials?
All depends on the category of water. You know, a category one loss is usually clean water. That's something that a lot of times, as long as there's no insulation present in those building materials, it can be dried in place with the specialty equipment that we have. Category two is gray water. That's something that, you know, depending on how long it's sat, you may want to start, you know, removing some drywall here and there. And then you got your category three, which is black water, you know, sewage backup, things of that nature. You want to make sure you're getting all the materials that you possibly can out, and then power washing whatever you can't and, you know, treating it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. The smell, what's the best way to remove the musty smell?
The musty smell is usually because it wasn't handled correctly. As long as you're removing all the materials that did get wet and drying the area properly, you shouldn't have that smell lingering.
Yeah, I was. I would have had the category one water, I think, in my home when I had that issue. The water was coming down the inside of the walls because, of course, the sprinkler system wasn't set on the edges. It was set, you know, kind of in the middle of the house, and so we had sort of a blower system, I think the guys were using. They came over right away and started on it. What kind of a system do you use when you've got something like that?
So we utilize dehumidifiers, air movers, air scrubbers, injected dry systems. The injected dry system is two-way usable. It's got some hoses that we can drill holes into the walls and pump air through there. And then it has a floor mat system where it's directed towards hardwood flooring and LVP flooring, where it actually sucks the moisture up through there.
So it takes it in one hose and pulls it out and throws it out the other one?
Depends on how it's set up. Yep.
Oh, man. A question about from somebody about a leaky toilet or shower. If you've got a bulge in the ceiling, I don't know, is it a good idea to cut into the bulge to remove the water that's built up?
I would definitely make sure that you are putting some sort of plastic down to protect whatever floor that is going to be landing on or whatever surfaces that may be. You know, you might want to consult a professional before you go ahead and do that, whether that's a plumber, you know, to figure out exactly what the issue is that's causing it, or, you know, a specialist like myself.
And back again to the outside of the house, you were talking about the downspouts and the outspouts and the grading. What are the, and I've talked about this on the show in the past, and I've forgotten the exact measurements for it, but what are we talking about in terms of sloping away from the house? I mean, to prevent water from going in, and length of downspouts.
From my understanding, the length of downspouts is ideal to be about 12 to 15 feet directed away from the foundation of your home. As far as the grading goes, I'm not 100% certain on that. That's not one of my expertise. We do work with a contractor that is his expertise. But I do know that, you know, you definitely don't want the ground sloping towards your foundation. You want to be able to see a noticeable difference. That way water is traveling away from it.
Jan emailed, how do people know if there's mold in the basement? Is it smell, or is there something more scientific as a way to tell?
Well, that's a good question. Mold in the basement can be invisible, you know, such as if you got paneling on your walls, you may not ever see anything going on. But because your foundation wall may get condensation, you may actually have some growth going on the backside of that. Sometimes you'll smell it, sometimes you won't. It all depends on the type of mold that you're dealing with as well. You know, something like a surface growth may not have any lingering odor. Something more like the quote-unquote black mold, the toxic black mold, Stachybotrys, that's something that you probably will smell.
Yeah. I would think so. Fortunately, the house I'm in now, I haven't had that. I haven't had to worry about that. If you got a story, you know, without talking about who the people are or anything, tell us some of your recent experiences working with homes.
Well, we went down to Texas with all those burst pipes. We went out to New Jersey for some hurricane relief. Obviously, we met some fantastic people along the way. One gentleman had a train set in his basement that he spent a lot of time on. This gentleman was about 80-some years old, and that was his retirement gift for himself. Build his most fantastic train set that he possibly could. Unfortunately, they lived really close to the river that ended up destroying the whole basement and the 4 feet up on his first floor. You know, obviously dealing with the heartache, it was kind of touching to us that we were able to help him. His project took about a week and a half just for all the material removal to be done, and then another 5 days for it to actually dry out thoroughly. From my understanding, before they actually got back into their house, it was about a year and a half's worth of time because of how much work needed to be done at his property. That was one of my, I guess, most heartbreaking situations that I've had to go through as a contractor in this industry. Then we got some mold jobs. You know, there's a lot of people that think that just because they're seeing some sort of discoloration that it's a life or death situation, when that's not always the case. Like I mentioned, the surface growth behind paneling, that's not necessarily anything that's toxic, but it's also not good to have in your home. But it's there's a lot worse molds out there, like the Stachybotrys, that, yes, indeed, that is something that you want to address as soon as possible. Then we've got some fire jobs. We've made some great contacts with the fire jobs just because there's so many different trades that are involved in those. You know, if you got even the simplest smoke-filled kitchen, that's going to go into your ductwork. So the recommendation is to have your ducts cleaned after we're done with our portion of the work. You know, electrical fires, we've came across some great electricians.
So a lot of different kind of jobs there, really.
Oh, yeah. Yep. On average, we're seeing probably about 30 to 40 jobs per month, roughly. Not saying that we're getting all of them, but just being able to go and look at them is definitely something.
Yeah, I would think so. Steve emailed, how well do furnace filters help with preventing mold? Is it worth the extra dollars to upgrade to the most expensive filter?
I can't necessarily say for a fact that, yes, go ahead and spend more money on the better filter. That could be an advertising thing. Some of the HVAC companies that we work with do make different products for, you know, sicknesses, illnesses, mold-related cleaning, I guess you could say. From my understanding, it's like a ozone ionizer system that can be put onto the furnace that has been used in conjunction with, you know, cheaper filters to kind of save the money there. But, you know, I don't have the science behind it saying that, yes, indeed, it is better to go with a better filter. I personally do run the higher MERV count in our furnace.
And the MERV count, what would be a high MERV count?
I believe ours is a 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 10, okay. And we had an email from Buck. His wife's been complaining about extra itchiness lately. And she says it's either mold or the chemicals left by the lawn service.
And that is a very good possibility. Mold does have that effect on some people. It could be more extreme for one other person than it is for another. It's all up to their immune system. The microbiologist that we work with, there's someone that could come out and give you a definite answer on if you do have an issue and what that issue may be. I know some pesticides, they have that type of effect on people as well.
Yeah. And one more from Bob. How important is it to clean the vent in your clothes dryer to help prevent moisture in the house?
As far as that goes, I'm not 100% certain on the moisture aspect of the house. It definitely will create some extra humidity that you definitely don't want. I would be more concerned about a clogged tube starting a fire, if anything.
Yeah, I had some birds build a nest in the in the pipe, one of the pipes, even though I had a cover on it. They figured out one of those louvered covers they have, that was too easy for them. They quickly figured out how to lift that lever and get in there, and it was the tube was half full of nest material, and it's not something you want to have if you want to avoid having a fire. Well, Joe, how long have you been in business now?
We have been in business since October of 2019.
Okay, and so business sounds like business is pretty good.
It's moving. It's definitely not failing at this point in time. I would say we could definitely do better, but obviously being a small business, we don't have the gigantic funds that, you know, the franchise companies have to advertise and whatnot.
Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for taking time to be with us, and appreciate your comments very much. Joseph Minorek, Director of Operations at Minorek Mitigation. They're based out of Mount Pleasant, and they serve the Milwaukee area. And thank you so much for joining us today. It's a team effort, as always. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our technical directors, and our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks again for listening in, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.